Welcome to Soul Lies, where the spiritual and the soul crosses paths. Stay tuned to learn ways to grow your spiritual understanding in order to reveal lies your soul believes. This podcast will help you learn the truth and propel you towards freedom in Christ Jesus. This is Jenny Fouts, licensed counselor in Louisiana at Christian Center Shreveport. Welcome back. I'm so excited that you're hanging in here. We are here again today talking to Pastor Scott Hooper, and he is going to share some more things about how Christians can be harassed by demons. We learned yesterday about the word demonized, an unclean spirit. Sometimes I use, and with some people, I just use the word darkness, being harassed by darkness, because we know Jesus dispels light. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go through some stories and scriptures of the Word about how making sense of this for you. So, Scott, you were telling us a story about in Luke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so if we want to talk about are Christians able to be demonized, right? I think that's a big question that we have. And we need to understand that in Luke chapter 13, verse 16, Jesus gives us a really important, there's actually a couple principles we can understand in terms of deliverance ministry. And we need to say this too, like, we don't understand that 60% of what Jesus did in terms of miracles, supernatural, was deliverance. A lot of times we forget that. And unfortunately, deliverance right now is like non-existent in most of the church of America, at least. And for most places where it is present, it's probably yelling, shouting at demons, and that's not right, and that's not what we see in Scripture either. And so I think it's important for us to understand that there's a difference in terms of Christians being possessed at the level that a non-believer is possessed, and then just Christians having demons and having issues. So there's a really important story in Luke chapter 13, and it's the one that I want to mention real quick. So Jesus is, he literally just set a woman free who was bent over for 18 years. And then this is what he says. He says this right here. He says, should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years long, be set free on the Sabbath, right? So he's talking to the Pharisees there. But it's important to know a couple things. One, he referred to this woman as a daughter of Abraham. In other words, she was a Jew. She was in on the promise. She was one of the chosen people. She would be the equivalent of a Christian, right? And so yet here Satan had bound her for 18 years. Okay, so Satan tormented her for 18 years. She still needed deliverance and healing from that. And a lot of that too, we don't think that Christians need deliverance because we say, well, they have the Lord living in them. How can a evil spirit live in a person that has the Lord living in them? And to which I gave the example that, well, you have Jesus, the sin-free, perfect, holy Son of God, who came into a demon-filled world. Of sin and darkness and the depravity of humanity, and he was able to walk in amongst demons and talk. Okay, and I think that's important for us to understand that a Christian can, by all means, be harassed and demonized and give influence of their lives over to demonic forces. Now, I don't think that woman in Luke knew that she was being held like that by a demon. And then you understand that there were other instances where Jesus healed people and it wasn't a demon. But in that instance, he said, Satan has bound you. And he called it a spirit of infirmity.
So, spirit of infirmity, which is good, because oftentimes we don't think in our Western world and our scientific minds, we don't think that demons cause sickness. Now, for psychology aspects, we have that a lot. You don't ever hear about anyone being diagnosed with something and it being demon related. They just give them the medicines, and sometimes the medicines help, sometimes they don't help, sometimes they just level out a little bit. But we never talk about someone having a demon with any kind of sickness.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, one of the functions of the demonic revolves around like spirits of infirmity. And so, you know, we do our healing teams, our prayer teams on Sunday morning. And a lot of times people come up there and they come up there for issues that they're having. Maybe, you know, so this was common like a couple months ago. People would come up there. I mean, in one day we had three people come up there and they were complaining about bad back problems. And when we would start to pray, we'd be like, wait a minute. Have you been suffering with this? Have you been suffering with this? And they're like, yeah. Yeah, like, and one of them was like guilt, or one of them was like them trying to carry more than they were supposed to carry in terms of responsibility in prayer, intercession, authority. And we said, well, here, why don't we take this off? And so we would pray and we'd be like, look, you know, let's forgive yourself, you know, pray the blood of Jesus. And all of a sudden, it's like their backs were completely healed. And so we don't understand that. We need to understand that a lot of these spiritual things bring in sicknesses. They want to attack your body. Generational sicknesses or can be spirits of infirmity that are just passed down through a family. And, you know, if you get set free from a generational sickness or an issue, I mean, that could be, you understand, that's a big thing. Because you're now talking about your future generations won't have to deal with that. And who knows how many generations have had to deal with it before it stopped at you. And so that's a big one, spirit of infirmity.
Well, now we know demons can, because in the Word it does talk about Jesus sometimes healed people just by healing. We remember when he picked up the mud and he put it in the man's eyes and he prayed twice for that man to be able to see. And that was not a demon. And it's important to know that just cover yourself in prayer if you're fighting something physically, so that you know. We do fight flu sometimes because we are in a fallen and sinful world, and sometimes we just fight the flu because we fight the flu.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we fight sicknesses because there's a demon. It's helping things along. Now, do demons use sicknesses to make you feel bad or make you feel worse? Sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I think that's important what you just said. Sometimes the tendency for some Christians is once they learn about the demonic, there's a demon under every rock. But yes, that's not true. Sometimes you just fall and you hurt yourself, right? Like, so just because a kid has a broken arm doesn't mean there's a demon. Maybe he just fell off a slide and broke his arm, right? And I think we need to understand that's where discernment comes in. Is this demonic or is this actually just physical? You know, eating a bad diet can lead to health problems. Having a spirit of infirmity can lead to health problems. So part of a minister of Christ and someone who needs to walk in discernment of the Holy Spirit is trying to figure out the root cause of this issue.
Well, and I think we have to take the same example of what Christ gave us, because he walked and prayed for people and he healed many and set many free. Mm-hmm. And that's a constant talking about. He is confronting because he came here to give us the keys. He came here to be able to give us that choice of freedom. Can you talk a little bit about that choice that as Christians, what we have as people?
Yeah, you know, the Lord values free will. The Lord didn't create robots. It's the reason there were two trees in the garden, because in order to have free will, you have to have the choice of failure. And so there was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there's the tree of life. And the Lord said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't because he was doing some sick test. It's because he wanted humans to have free will. He wanted them to be able to choose to obey God or have the option to not obey. And I think that's important for us to know. And so obedience is a very powerful thing when it comes to influence. I love what Paul says in Romans. He says, don't you know that you are a slave to the one you obey? Right? That's Paul, right? You are a slave to the one that you obey. Either you're a slave to sin, leading to death, right? You're a slave to these spirits, which gives them influence. You obey them, and it gives them influence over your life. Or you're obedient to God, right? And I think that's important for us to know. The beautiful thing about being a Christian is we can hitch ourselves up to a demonic spirit, but we still belong to Christ. You still belong to Christ. And so at any moment, there's this thing where you say, whoa, 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 no, I belong to Christ. I repent, Lord, for hooking myself up to this wagon over here. I repent for allowing this thing to guide me and lead me and give me influence. You repent. You break off what needs to be broken off if forgiveness is needed. And you go back and you hook yourself up to Jesus Christ and you realign with Him. That's the beautiful thing about being a Christian. Now, sometimes we need people to help us in that process. Brothers and sisters in Christ that can help us. It's always nice. But the bad thing is when you're not a Christian, then you are chained to that wagon of sin and, you know, pretty much what you are a slave to sin. And until you allow Jesus Christ to come in your life and set you free, you will be a prisoner. You will be a captive. And that's why I tell people, one of my favorite things that Jesus declared was in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He declares His mission statement. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He's anointed me to declare good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind." And He goes, to set the captives free. All right, and that's one of His big things, is He's here to set captives free. So when we think of salvation, a lot of times we only think of, I'm going to heaven. But salvation actually means you're eternally saved from hell. You are saved and delivered from Satan's effects in your life here. And then you are healed physically. It's every area of your life. But we usually only focus on, am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? But the word sozo implies every area of your life where you have freedom and deliverance.
Well, I hope that each one of you are beginning to think about areas that you might struggle with. And a lot of times there's patterns. Every time you look in the mirror, you hear this voice talking, and it sounds very much like you, that you're bad, terrible, horrible, and awful. Maybe you're haunted by thoughts of pornography. Maybe you're haunted by thoughts about someone at work. Maybe you're haunted by anger. You got to stay tuned for the rest of this week, because we're going to talk about more ways that demons work and what are some of the jobs that demons do. What are their functions? What are they up to? It's important for us to know that Jesus did a lot of teaching on these things. It's just that we are too anxious about bringing it into our life and into the body of Christ and really talking about that. We're afraid that if we talk about demons, then somehow or another we're going to get demons. But the sad thing about it is if we don't talk about them, we definitely will have them. This is hopefully helping you to learn how to get free. So join us tomorrow as we dive in deeper into what are some of the functions that demons do. Thanks. Soul Lives is meant for information only. It is not a substitute for counseling.